بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, brothers and sisters, we are looking at the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in creation in order to fill our hearts with the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His azmat, which is with His glory, with His magnificence. I remind myself and you that everything needs effort, including this. Just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorious and magnificent and there is no doubt about this, it does not mean that automatically we will feel this glory and magnificence in our hearts. We won't feel. There are people who live their entire lives and die without any khashyat in their hearts, and what happens to them thereafter, only Allah knows. So if we want to feel the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, then we have to make effort. And that effort is to look at two things. One is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He has made, and the glory of it, the magnificence of it, the detail of it, the small of it, the large of it. And the second one, which in addition to the khashyat of Allah, will also bring into our hearts the hub, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. Personally, what are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives? So today and for the last few days, we have been looking at the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, many things we looked at, and among the things that we saw or looked at was, I mentioned to you yesterday the issue of or this story of ants. In passing, I want to mention one other thing, because I mentioned yesterday the deep cutting ants which lift weights which amount to the equivalent of a human being, and how much it would be if the equivalent in human, you know, reckoning, that it would be equal to a man lifting 600 kilograms in his teeth. That is what the leaf-cutting ant lifts. So I was looking to see which is the strongest creature that Allah has created. And what we know from research, the strongest creature is not the elephant. The strongest creature is not the gorilla or something. The strongest creature is the dung beetle. The dung beetle is a small thing, it's about this big. But the dung beetle, Ontophagus taurus, the male lifts the equivalent of 1141 times its own body weight. In human terms, that would amount to a person weighing about 70 kilograms, lifting 80 tons. 80 tons. Now, Ajib, the Khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one insect. Now, why does it need to be so strong? Because they fight for, there's one thing I think which is universal across all creation. And that is why the reason why men fight. And that's what the reason why dung beetles fight. And in order to push away, they literally have sort of, you know, these pushing battles. This strength, this dung beetle has pushed away its rivals. Now, so that was, I said, let me mention that in passing. Because today I want to talk about something else. Today I want to talk to you about another bird. Which I have photographed. We photographed them in Hyderabad, and I had gone to Assam, to Manas and to Kaziranga. I photographed them there. I also photographed them in Rajasthan, in the Marwar Plateau. And that is the bar-headed goose. Now, bar-headed geese, the reason I mention them is because they have the record for being the highest flying birds in creation. Bar-headed geese fly at altitudes of 34,000 feet. 34,000 feet. The conditions at 34,000 feet, temperature is minus 59 degrees Celsius, which means that exposed flesh freezes instantly. Instantly, it turns to ice instantly. And it also means that if you take, at that temperature, if you take a deep breath, you will die instantly, like being shot in the head, because your lungs will freeze completely. You take one breath, your lungs will turn into ice and you are dead. At that temperature, this bird flies. Oxygen content at minus 34,000 feet is practically zero. There's almost no oxygen. Yet these geese fly. I mean, the ornithologists, they tell us that they have the ability to extract oxygen from the air. The blood is very hemoglobin rich, and so on and so forth. All of these are facts which are telling us how it happens. It still doesn't tell us why it happens. Now, they migrate from Siberia in the north of Asia, and they come all the way down into India. They come down into other places. And part of their migration route is over the top of the Himalayas. They actually go over the top of Everest. And Everest is 8.8 kilometers high. These geese fly over that, right? Now, why do they fly at 34,000 feet? Because that's at that height, we have the Gulf Stream current, which is a current of air that circles the earth. And the geese fly in that Gulf Stream current at 80 kilometers an hour. That's 1,000 miles in a day. That speed. The wind pushes them. They are so strong that they can fly against a 200 kilometer an hour wind without being blown off course. We're not talking about a 747 jet. We're talking about a goose. You talk about a bird, it can fly against a 200 kilometer an hour wind and it is not blown off course. It is so strong. The down feathers, they retain heat when it's flying. The body generates heat. The down feathers retain heat so that the bird continues to fly in minus 59 degrees Celsius. Another bird which doesn't fly at this height, but across the Everest, which accompanies this bird, is the Damozel Crane. Now, again, I photographed them in Rajasthan, most recently in Rajasthan. Huge flocks of them, both of the geese and the cranes. Now, Damozel Cranes, when they go across the Himalayas, especially across Everest, the geese and the cranes, they are preyed upon by golden eagles. So, golden eagles extract their toll across. Now, interesting thing is that if they fly a little bit, if the route is a little bit to one side, they can actually fly at much lower heights because they can cross the Himalayas through the Khyber Pass. Right? But instead of that, they fly across the top of Everest. Now, Allah knows why. Because if you look at, you know, evolution and so on and so forth, then why not take an easier route? Because the easier route obviously means that you can get across without that much of effort. But they don't. They go across the top of Everest. Allah knows best. Maybe that's a way of culling out the weak ones or something. You know, ecologically, the reason for it, and I don't know. But I'm saying that this is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, interestingly, that's the reason why planes fly at 40,000 feet. Because you don't want to meet a flock of barred geese at 34,000 feet if you are sitting in a plane. So, if you look out of the window of your plane, and I hope that this never happens to you, but if you look out of the window of your plane and you see barred geese, then two things are happening. One is you are not drunk. You are seeing the truth, and the next thing is that you are like maybe a few seconds from meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you must recite the kalima very loudly and quickly, because when those geese get sucked up into the engine, then you are toast. And that's the reason why those why planes fly at 39,000 feet, 40,000 feet? Because they don't want to be anywhere close to birds flying, and these are the only birds that fly. And a barred-headed goose is weighs almost 4 kilograms or something, you know, 4 to 5 kilograms. So it's a big bird.
When it goes back, it's like 10 and a half kgs.
Yes. And then it comes here, it feeds, and then it goes back, it's almost double the weight. So it's almost, you know, 10 kilos or 11 kilos when it goes back to its nesting grounds in Siberia. They come down here to feed, and then they go back to nest in those in Central Asia and in Northern Asia. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us. My purpose of this is not to cover all of creation, because obviously I can't do that, but to at least generate some interest in people to do more than sit and watch cricket or something. It's far more interesting to watch the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cricket is our creation. It's not the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have created cricket, and that's why we have what we have. Anyway, so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to marvel at, see His creation, research in it, and for this to open our eyes and hearts to the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.